Marty Lurie, KMBR, 680, spring training baseball, one of the greatest. Boy, I tell you this every time. When every game I went to, you made a play that made me think a shortstop was playing first base. But it is spring training. JT Snow joins us. Spring training, it's got to feel good to you even today.
It's great. I mean, every time there's a couple things through the course of the year, you know, after the World Series is over and, well, now November, you look for the calendar to turn to January, and you know that spring training's right around the corner. And then I think once the calendar flips to February, it's when the juices start flowing. You know, it's only a few days away. So it's great to be back down here in Arizona, and Scottsdale's such a great place. The weather, we got an awesome day today, first game, and go through the first 5-6 days and face the pitchers and have them throw the ball by a little bit, break some bats, take some ground balls, and then the guys are excited to get the game started. So it's long. Spring training is a long haul, and you got to pace yourself almost more than anything, and that's up to the manager and the coaches now to give the guys the innings and the in the field and the at-bats, and everybody's different. And that's the great thing about a manager is knowing which guys need more at-bats, which guys need more innings in the field. Basically, spring training is geared all towards the pitchers, getting their arms in shape. So, personally, I think it's a little long. Like, it could be a little shorter, but as we were talking, we're making a lot of money down here with these games, and the fans are turning out. So, it becomes a long haul if you think about spring training, the regular season, then if you get to the postseason, the extra round, and the World Series, it's a grind.
All right, JT Snow with us, as you can tell, still enthusiastic about standing out here in the sun and talking about spring training. What was your first spring training? What year was it? And my question is this, you answer that one, but is it different today? Does it look any different today? And we always talk about generations changing. Has it changed today? But first, what was your first one?
My first year, well, I was drafted in 1989 by the Yankees, so I went to short season in the New York Penn League, Oneonta, New York. Mm-hmm. So 1990 was my first. That was minor league camp. I went to two minor league camps and then big league camp in 92. I was put on the 40-man roster and then stayed till last cut. Buck Showalter was our manager with the Yankees and ended up going to AAA Columbus. So that was my first year. My first big league camp was 92. And I'll tell you what, down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and I was so nervous showing up to camp in the Yankee clubhouse. You can only imagine. I was a 23-year-old kid, and I just had my locker in the corner, kept my mouth shut, and got my work in. And so that was pretty neat to come up through the Yankees and see some of the Yankee legends walking through the clubhouse. And then, you know what, I think it's still the same. I think it's still, you come in, I think back then spring training was more, some of the veteran guys use it more to get in shape, work themselves into shape. Now guys work out all year round and they come into camp in such great shape. And they used to, be hard the first few days, a lot of running and agility stuff and conditioning. And now with the money that these guys are making, you got to take it slow a little bit because you don't want to blow anybody out. You don't want to get anybody hurt. So, you know, it's still the same game. It's still baseball. It hasn't changed. It's guys excited, guys trying to get at bats and get innings and get themselves in shape. And there's an excitement right now, and then you'll go through the middle of spring and there'll be a lull and guys want to get out here, and then about the last week it'll pick back up because they know the season's right around the corner.
Yeah, we always say no matter how long it is, it's about a week too long.
Yeah.
And that's the way it works. JT with us. How did you know if you were having a good spring training? In other words, did you get off to good starts or bad starts traditionally, and can you relate it to anything you did in spring training?
I was a slow starter when the season started, just for whatever reason. Usually you come into spring training, I would always come in 10, 15 pounds heavier from working out in the off season, and I always found that when I could shed that a little bit, I started playing better. But I was a slow starter, and spring training for me was about, I knew I was having a good spring. I wasn't ever concerned about numbers. I think as a young kid, you might be. You want to impress a manager, and you want to hit 400 in spring, and you want to get hits. And we're all the same way. But as you get to be a veteran guy, it's about, for me, it's about, am I hitting the ball hard? Am I having good at-bats? Am I making all the plays on defense? Do my legs feel in shape? Am I good to go nine innings? And the manager start extending you out after the first couple weeks. So that's all it is. If I'm hitting the ball hard and having good at-bats, I'm ready to go.
Well, this year we're going to see some changes. By the way, JT does a heck of a job, Pac-12 baseball and analyst. You'll hear him, of course, in the Bay Area as we see Pac-12 games. But there's a couple of changes this year in the old game.
Right.
First one is the play at the plate. And we had an extensive discussion on it last night. Philippe Alou gave me some real good insights into it. You know the rule. What's your take on it?
Well, the first thing is there's still going to be collisions at home plate. There's still going to be, and that's the thing people got to realize, is just because there's a collision, it doesn't mean the runner's out or wrong. Bruce Bochy just went over with the guys just now as we were sitting here watching for about 10 minutes at home plate. And basically, there's still some gray area. Basically, the runner can't deviate from his path if he's coming to the plate, and the catcher can only block the plate if he has the ball. So there's still going to be collisions. If a guy's got the ball in front of home plate and a runner keeps his path, he can run him over. And that's where I think fans are going to get confused. They may think, you know, that he's out or throw the runner out, or it's going to happen. What Boach is trying to teach is what I think is the right way to do it is just in your mind, you have to plan on going into home plate hard and feet first, and then you'll never be in the wrong. So that's basically it. The catcher can't block the ball unless he has the ball. But catchers are smart enough in the big leagues where they can stand in front of the plate, kind of deke the runner in a relaxed position, and as they catch, turn to swipe. So you know what? We're going to see some. There's going to be some arguments about it. There's going to be some gray area. But I think as a runner, like Boach was preaching, if you're coming into the plate, you can't be wondering, do I take him out? Do I slide? Because then that's when a runner gets hurt or turns an ankle or pulls a muscle. So just, you know, come in hard to the plate and come in feet first. And if he's blocking the plate, go right hard at his shin guards. You know, what if we were talking in the coach's room yesterday. What if they made the rule that you have to slide feet first into every base, right? I'm talking about second and third. Then there would be no, you know, hesitation or anything to worry about. I know guys slide head first, and that's part of the game. But if they made a rule where you have to slide feet first, I think it would alleviate a lot of the problems and a lot of the plays at the plate, the collisions.
And, you know, it made me think about the old Brooklyn Dodgers with Branch Rickey and the Vero Beach. They had sliding pits. Mm-hmm. And part of the drills, sawdust, you learned how to do the hook slide. You learned how to slide. I've never seen that in all the years I'm coming down here. I've never seen one sliding drill.
We used to have sliding drills. They'd put a pad out. It was almost like a slip and slide. It was a pad, and you'd run down and you'd slide, and it was just to teach you to get your hands up off, slide on the backside of your thigh and your butt, and get the foot up in the air. And we used to see it as kids, right? Guys would go in spikes high or try and take guys out. And I don't know if it's as intense as it used to be, but I haven't seen the sliding drills either. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. There's a few things this year that rule and then the replay rule, that there's going to be a lot of question marks, and it's going to be an interesting year. There's going to be some upset people, and I think fans might get a little ticked off at some of the things. So it's putting a lot of pressure on the managers and the coaching staff this year with all these rule changes.
Yeah, especially being in the park. As someone who buys a ticket and wants to know what's going on, you may not know what's going on. The people at home may know more than you do.
They may. You just have to familiarize yourself with the rules and make sure that the fans, that you guys know the rules. And the coaches, we've been talking about it here for 3 days and with the replay, and they're going to show replays on the board during the games. After the play's over and the next pitch is made, they can show a controversial. I just hope the fans don't get unruly and it doesn't turn into a World Cup soccer match where fans are booing, and it puts a lot of pressure on the manager, because what if he doesn't argue a call? They get one challenge a game. If they get it right, they get another challenge. And then after the seventh inning, the umpires can review any play they want. So, and they will be shown on the board. So, you know, if the manager doesn't go out and argue and they show a play and the fans think they should have, they may start booing their home manager. I just or if the umpires get it wrong and they show it on the board, and I feel sorry for the safety of the umpires a little bit, you know, because I just hope the fans around Major League Baseball keep a cool head about themselves, and they're going to be let in on a lot of information this year about close plays. And you know, I think it's going to drag the games out a little bit longer. I think games might be a little longer, which we don't need. But you know what? We're we just do what they tell us.
Yeah, experimental. Right. Life changes. The game is changing. Right. A last thought for you, J.T. Snow. Nice to talk with him in spring training. A beautiful sunny day. A's baseball, A's Giants baseball coming up. Well, the A's are coming up here with the Giants. But you ever get thrown out of a game?
Yes. Arguing balls and strikes.
Really?
Yep. That was the only time. I think twice, maybe two or three times, got thrown out. You can't argue balls and strikes, but of course I was right. Of course it was a ball a foot outside, and I argued strike three, and the umpire runs you. So it happens. I mean, I think that the umpires have – back when I first came up, you couldn't talk to them, and they were a bunch of older veteran umpires that you had to respect. Now they're doing a better job of listening to guys and talking to guys, and there's some things you can argue and some things you can't, but it feels good to get kicked out every now and then. Get kicked out of a game and say what you feel or say what you saw, and then if they throw you out, they throw you out. But get your money's worth and stand up for yourself.
Did you throw the helmet or did you magic words?
One time was magic words, and then another time was equipment, throwing some equipment. I'd actually, real quick, I'd hit a home run off Curt Schilling in Arizona down the left field line, and it was clearly foul. The ump called it fair. I circled the bases, and they congregate, and the home plate umpire said I couldn't tell. The third base umpire said he couldn't tell. The guys have the two best view of it, and the second base umpire said, oh, it was foul.
Oh, man.
So I had to go back up to the plate, and then next pitch, 3-2, throws me a split in the dirt. I strike out. I throw my bat, my helmet. I told the home plate umpire that, you know, you suck, and how could you miss that call? And he said, you're out of here. And it was funny because my son was at the game, and he was about 4 years old, sitting up in the clubhouse in Arizona, and Murph and some of the other guys up there said, your dad's going to be up here in the clubhouse in a minute watching the game with you. And I walked up, and I sat and watched the rest of the game with my son in the clubhouse.
Funny. Hey, JT, thanks so much, as always. Good to see you.
Anytime. Looking forward to it this year.
Yeah. All right. More coming up on KBR 680, the sports leader.